voice of the world, the sound with the beat, the sound that sets you tapping your feet. Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure. The sound of the news, rhythm and blues,
Tchaikovsky swing, whatever you choose.
Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Welcome to All Things Radio, your weekly radio magazine, with radio news from a national perspective, caller and format changes, sports news, featured radio stations from yesterday and today, your voicemails and phone calls, as well as special guests and featured segments. And now here's your host, Bill Sparks.
Educate, syncopate, radio communicate, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Well, hello and good evening and welcome to All Things Radio 720. And we all know what that means if you're a radio listener. So we salute Chicago, too. AM 720. Yes, we do. So here we start our 720th show. I cannot believe it. But here we are. There's no Bernie tonight, so we're down one panel member, but with Jeff here and Chris here, we will have no problem talking. So I guarantee it. Yeah, no problem whatsoever. So they'll take care of that. Jeff, you can tell us what's coming up if you would, please.
Oh, thank you very much, Bill. First of all, hello to everybody listening to the All Things Radio show today, and also we'll be listening later on to the podcast. We have our usual panel members, as you know. And first of all, we'll start things off with our radio news from a national perspective. We'll follow that up with Jennifer Sparks' caller and format changes. And after that, Bill has found something that I think is pretty cool. John Sterling has been the announcer for the New York Yankees for 36 years. He's been in radio for 60 years, as you said on in the interview. Or 65 years. It's just amazing. Especially since he came to New York at WMCA in 1971 when they went to a talk format. Well, he's retiring now at the ripe old age or ripe young age of 85. So we've got that. My classic air check takes us back to San Francisco, California in 1970. An air check from October of 1970. It's KYA with Juana Johnny and Pete McNeil. Finally, in our featured station segment, we're going to be traveling to Greencastle, Indiana. I know it's a kind of in the metro market of Indianapolis, and we're going to listen to radio station WREBFM. Station broadcasts a classic rock format. They dropped their hot adult contemporary format and classic rock, and they call themselves The Giant, and you get to hear Jennifer. And I believe if you listen to her carefully enough, you'll see that she is voice tracking. So, all in all, I think we have a pretty good show this week, and I'll turn it over to you. Oh, Bill. We'll talk about some Indianapolis news, and I mentioned it to you before, that I guess his name is it Tony Katz?
Tony Katz. He does the morning show, and after a two-hour break, he does a midday show on 93 FM WIBC. And he has some syndicated stations that carry his show.
Well, that afternoon midday show from noon to, I guess, 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock, whatever it is going to be syndicated by a company called Key Networks, so he'll get more coverage around the United States. I've never heard of him before. Is he conservative? Is he liberal? I'm not too familiar with him.
Well, he's very much conservative, which is not a problem in itself if that's his personal beliefs, but he's a conservative with an attitude. I mean, it's never a good attitude. If I was going to be his persuasion, can't you talk positive about anything, anytime? Is the world that bad or whatever? I mean, it just sounds negative all the time. I personally, I have to give it a thumbs down. Have you heard it, Perry?
I have not. My question, Jeff, is what is I have not heard of Key Network. What do they do?
They have a number of music formats. There used to be the Satellite Music Network, and there used to be United Stations or Unistar. They were two different satellite programs. Yeah. They provide music services for radio stations, and they do a bunch of things. They provide advertising for radio stations. They do a lot of things, and one of the things they do is syndicate particular shows. So this is a syndicate, like Compass Media is another company. They're all in the same market.
Right. And you're going to find, Jeff, that if it's not that well received here, it's probably not going to be that well received across the country.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's just not. I mean, that's my personal thing.
So you're saying for the smaller market station?
Yeah.
Is that why they do it? Is it cheaper for the smaller market station? You know, yeah, really because little
they, it, right. it may not cost the smaller market station a lot of money. They don't.
Yeah.
They don't have to bring on hire a host, and they can get this guy, and he'll do a show.
And if you have a third tier talk station, you can just throw him on and be done with it.
Unfortunately, Mike, there is a question. Anyway. There is an answer to that question. You said, does he take phone calls? A lot of these talk show artists talk and talk and talk, and they don't take a lot of phone calls. And
right.
then everything is totally screened. So talk shows aren't like they used to be in the old days. Back in the 60s, they were a lot more freer. They were a lot better, unfortunately. But we're in a new world where everything is so over-consulted now that if you're a talk show host, then... it's just not quite the same anymore, Mike. So those days are gone. Exactly. They're just gone.
So you're saying, Bill, that he's not like Rush Limbaugh, the entertainer.
No, because
that's the one thing I would say with Rush. When Rush was a talk show host, yes, he was a talk show host, but Rush
at least he was entertaining.
Well, and he understood that part of it is you have to entertain your listeners or they're going to leave you.
Right. It doesn't matter what persuasion you are. And I guess his claim to fame is, excuse me, he likes to go to these cigar bars and he's a big cigar smoker and he likes those things and his, maybe personally it's not a, I can't personally, but I just... personally do not like the show.
So he would be on WIBC for my time 11 to 2, right?
That's right. And he's on in the mornings from 5 to 8 your time. He's on from...
Wow. I'll have to listen to him just to see what he sounds like.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, you might like him, but personally, I'm not looking at gloom and doom every rock I pull up or... a conspiracy here or this or that there, and it's just not my style of radio. I mean, things are bad enough, don't make them so bad nobody wants to listen.
I pretty much, just for myself, don't see any reason to listen to terrestrial talk radio at all. I mean, it's all pretty much the same viewpoint, and why bother with it?
And I'm going to tell you, I was trolling for formats like I always do on Thursday, just in case there was a change. I got this station, it was playing a little smooth jazz and sounded pretty good, and I thought, wow, I'm on to something here. So I sit there, and maybe you can identify and raise your right hand if you do, just if you raise it at home. But what did I do? Instead, I thought it was on 100.1 and it was on 99.1. It was a low power station about 5 miles from me. And they were playing a variety of music, a little smooth jazz, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and very much the low power station. And now they're streaming on the web, but they weren't that great after I listened a few minutes. But I thought I was on 100.1 and it was actually 99.1. So no format change, no change whatsoever. I did take the time to go up the dial. I always check just in case there might be something that sneaked in there. But week after week, year after year, it's the same thing.
You know, that reminds me of a story. I was back in the 70s. I was in Syracuse, New York, and I was sitting there listening to it was in Syracuse. They were off the air. WHN had been doing some testing. And I'm sitting there, and I'm hearing this, and I thought it was WVNJ in Newark, New Jersey. So I called my friend up in New York City. I said, wow, I think WVNJ may have changed their format. They're playing, up-tempo, middle-of-the-road music. And I'm sitting there, and my friend's going to me, you're crazy. It's not WVNJ. They're doing the same program that they've always been doing. I thought they were saying WVNJ, but it was really WTMJ in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay, Jeff, then you've joined the club.
And I'm joining the club, and I'm saying, and I'm thinking to myself, if Bill Sparks talking about this, of, oh, it's only Bill Sparks that has this problem. If I had the same problem.
I think we've all had it.
By the way,
when they were built, getting ready to put 700 in Houston on, they hadn't started doing testing yet. So I'm turning around and I hear some kind of down-tempo AC. So I call a friend of mine, a local, and I said, I think their call in those days was KTBT. I said, I think KTBT is testing, because they were coming in really well, not strong, but it was a good night pattern. But it turned out to be RJR in Kingston, as we listened to. Well, that's a little bit not quite KTBT. So that's pretty cool to get.
Well,
tested.
That's funny because RJR. That's very hard to get in the Northeast, and I have heard them. But like one day, I happen to be listening to the radio. It's like 3 in the morning, and it's 6:40, and I'm hearing talk, and I said, wow, what station is that? It was KFI in Los Angeles, California. Wow. And that's just something you just don't get on AM.
Not very often. Yeah. In fact,
for a few minutes, I got, it was the end of a Kings game. This was back in 69 or so, and it really was KNX because they had signed off CBA in Moncton, you know, New Brunswick, that I usually got, and the Kings were signing off a post game, and it was really the Kings, and that's the only time I ever got California from here.
Boy,
I used to get KMBR and KFI in like 3 or 4 in the morning in North Texas.
I only wish I could get the stations that were in the Border Blasters. I only got them once. I got on 1090 when WBAL was off the air. I actually got XPRS or X. What is that?
We used to get them all the time. Wow.
And we never got them in the Northeast. And the other station
you didn't get KAY instead?
No, I didn't. The other station I enjoyed, and unfortunately, I kept telling my sister, and because she likes soul music too, and I said, I love this station, and because they're the one that has a different format during the day, and they play the soul and the blues and the gospel at night, was 1510 WLAC, and I always prayed that WLAC would never get back on the air at night, but obviously that wasn't going to happen. Because I really love that radio station.
Oh, me too.
Well, we can all make those mistakes.
They went rock.
You know something? I know there's no mistake about this. And that is the Jeff's call letter. I mean, not call letter. Jeff's radio news is coming up. There is a mistake about that.
There you go.
And so we'll see what Jeff has to offer this week.
I'm Jeff Bennett for All Things Radio, and here's what's happening in the world of broadcasting. It's all about artificial intelligence this week, and a frequency swap in Atlanta leads to some format moves. We'll let you know what's happening on the street, and begin our look at the Nielsen March Personal People Meter ratings. It was yet another busy week this week in the world of broadcasting, and with the National Association of Broadcasters show taking place in Las Vegas this week, the word on the street is artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is being marketed in all ways relating to the radio industry. In voice tracking, in voice production, and artificial intelligence could also be used to help write commercials. Odyssey is in the forefront of artificial intelligence in a number of ways. Odyssey is using 11 Labs in aiding them in producing commercials. They're going to be using the artificial intelligence voices produced by the company in creating these commercials. Odyssey is also working with Super Hi-Fi in using voice tracking for their HD radio stations. An example of this is being played out at the National Association of Broadcasters show in Las Vegas, Nevada at KVGS HD2, with a number of different formats being demonstrated using the voice tracking facilities of Odyssey and Super Hi-Fi. In Atlanta, Georgia, iHeartMedia has made a change to two of its radio stations. 105.3 The Beat is moved to 96.1, and the format that was on 96.1, Power 96.1, has moved to 105.3. The reason for the format switch is to give a better signal to the hip-hop-oriented format 105.3 The Beat, which is now 96.1 The Beat. And the format that was on 96.1 has been moved to 105.3. Other than that, there are no other changes for both radio stations. Now let's take a quick look and find out what's happening on the street. iHeartMedia has placed the conservative talk show hosted by Michael DelGiorno in 4 more radio markets. They include 720 WGST AM in Hogansville, Georgia, 1410 WDOV Dover, Delaware, 1450 WILM Wilmington, Delaware, Delaware, 1470 WJDY, Salisbury, Maryland. It will also be aired in Phoenix, Arizona later on this month on radio station KFYI as well. In other news, Urban One has received a delisting notice from the NASDAQ Stock Exchange because the stock price of its shares has gone below a dollar. We'll let you know more about this as Urban One responds to the delisting notice in a future All Things Radio live broadcast. Out on Long Island, on a feature station that we broadcast a few weeks ago, radio station WWWF Broadcasting in Modern Country Format has hired its first radio personality. Her name is Alexa Neo, and she'll be handling middays for the radio station. She began her radio career as a student at radio station WHPC-FM, owned and operated by Nassau Community College. And she also did part-time work at radio station WBAB-FM, as well as WBLI-FM, owned and operated by Cox Media. WWF-FM is owned and operated by JVC Media. In Dallas, Texas, Vicky O is returning to the airwaves at radio station KKDA-FM, which broadcasts a hip-hop format. The station is owned and operated by Urban One. Vicky O had left the radio business to start a family, but she's back in radio, doing weekend mornings at radio station KKDA-FM. The station broadcasts a classic hip-hop format. In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a new morning team is on the air at radio station WDSY-FM. The station broadcasts a country format and is owned and operated by Odyssey. The new morning team consists of Kale Berger and Amanda Gorecki. This morning show replaces the syndicated morning show hosted by Broadway and Friends, syndicated by Oceanic Tradewinds. In Cincinnati, Ohio, there's a new morning host at radio station WNNF-FM, broadcasting a country format that's Cat Country 94.1. Her name is Amanda Valentine, and she comes to this radio station after co-hosting afternoons at radio station WUBE-FM, also broadcasting a country format, in Cincinnati, Ohio. Finally, it's an old story that has come back to haunt WBAI-FM, 99.5 in New York City, owned and operated by Pacifica. The station could be taken off the air if they lose their transmitter site at 4 Times Square in New York City. Right now, the station is hoping to raise $200,000 to avoid eviction from the transmitter site. We'll let you know if this is successful in a future All Things Radio live broadcast. Now it's time to begin our look at Nielsen's March Personal People Meter ratings. In New York City, the number one ranked radio station is WLTW-FM with an adult contemporary format. The number two ranked radio station is WAXQ-FM with a classic rock format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in New York City is WHTZ-FM with a pop CHR format. In Los Angeles, California, the number one ranked radio station is KRTH-FM with a classic hits format. The number two ranked radio station is KOST-FM with an adult contemporary format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Los Angeles, California is KFI-AM with a talk format. In Chicago, Illinois, the number one ranked radio station is WLIT-FM with an adult contemporary format. The number two ranked radio station is WDRV-FM with a classic rock format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Chicago, Illinois is WBAZ-FM with an urban format. In Dallas, Texas, the number one ranked radio station is KLNO-FM with the regional Mexican format. The number two ranked radio station is KRNB-FM with an urban format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Dallas, Texas is KSPF-FM with a classic hits format. In San Francisco, California, the number one ranked radio station is KOIT-FM with an adult contemporary format. The number two ranked radio station is KQED-FM with a public radio format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in San Francisco, California is KCBS-AM with an all-news format. In Houston, Texas, the number one ranked radio station is KSBJ-FM with a Christian CHR format. The number two ranked radio station is KODA-FM with an adult contemporary format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Houston, Texas is KGLK-FM with a classic rock format. In Atlanta, Georgia, the number one ranked radio station is WSRV-FM with a classic hits format. The number two ranked radio station is WSB-AM with a news talk format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Atlanta, Georgia is WSB-FM with an adult contemporary format. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the number one ranked radio station is WMGK-FM with a classic rock format. The number two ranked radio station is WDAS-FM with an urban format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is WMMR-FM with a rock format. Out on Long Island, the number one ranked radio station is WBAB-FM with a classic rock format. The number two ranked radio station is WKJY-FM with an adult contemporary format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station out on Long Island is WHTZ-FM with a pop CHR format. In Riverside, California, the number one ranked radio station is KOLA-FM with a classic hits format. The number two ranked radio station is KFRG-FM with a country format. Finally, the number three ranked radio station in Riverside, California is KBIG-FM with a hot adult contemporary format. In San Jose, California, the number one ranked radio station is KMVQ-FM with a pop CHR format. The number two ranked radio station is KOIT-FM with an adult contemporary format. Finally, the number three rock radio station in San Jose, California is KUFX FM with a classic rock format. Finally, out in New Jersey, and that encompasses the counties of Middlesex, Somerset, and Union, the number one rock radio station is WKXW FM with a news talk format. The number two rock radio station is WAXQ FM with a classic rock format. Finally, the number three rock radio station in New Jersey is WHTZ FM with a pop CHR format. Next week, we'll continue our look at the Nielsen March Personal People Meter ratings. Finally, at this week's National Association of Broadcasters show in Las Vegas, Nevada, 10 individual radio stations were honored for their exceptional service to the community. KFI AM in Los Angeles, California. KKBQ FM in Houston, Texas. KMVP FM in Phoenix, Arizona. KNDE FM, College Station, Texas. KSL FM, Salt Lake City, Utah. WBZZ FM, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. WHPT FM, Tampa Bay, Florida. WJJY FM, St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota. WLBC FM, Muncie, Indiana. And WNRP FM in Pensacola, Florida. Finally, KSTP FM in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota was given the esteemed Heritage Award because it has won 5 Crystal Awards during the past 37 years. If you have any comments concerning this portion of the podcast, there are many ways you can get in touch with me. First of all, you can send me an email. My email address is Jeff. That's J-E-F-F, Jeff, at allthingsradio.net. Or you can send me a voicemail with our feedback line. The phone number is 800-693-0595. That's 800-693-0595. And hit option 2 for the podcast team. For All Things Radio, I'm Jeff Bennett.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Oh, no problem, Bill. The only thing I was looking at in those ratings, and I this is the first time I've seen this in Long Island, number 2, the second-ranked radio station was WKJY-FM 98.3. I've never seen them as at number 1 or number 2 in the ratings. And we've been doing these ratings now for, well, almost 15 years at least.
Yeah.
And I don't remember them, but of course they were originally owned and operated. They were WHLI AM and FM in Hempstead. The AM would go off the air and the FM would stay on the air, and they were easy listening for years and years and years. And of course, I'm going to feature them next week because I want to know, why are they number 1? Is there something special about them? Are they number 1 because maybe the people had the sampling rate was in the houses that maybe listened to them more? I don't know why they're number 1. So I'm going to take a listen to them and make them our next week's featured station segment, because I'm just curious. The station has never shown up as a number 1 radio station. So
I used to hear WHLI getting ready to sign, they would say go over to our FM, but I would hear that they were 1100 and they would come in, of course, before Cleveland. And so that. But my question is, what's WBAI doing for programming now? What is it that
they
people
do
are
a lot? They do a lot
doing?
Of very freeform kind of programming. They're in trouble. They're in financial trouble. They've always been in financial trouble over the years. But this is bad, Chris, because they do a show that's run by a guy named Gary Null. It's a nutrition show, and he asks for money. And, yes, he can do that, but he's not supposed to be doing that on a non-commercial station to support
right.
his show. That money, if he was asking for money so it would support Pacifica and WBAI, that's one thing. But he's asking for money to support himself and his show, and this is a violation. Ultimately, WBAI could lose its license. Do you realize that WBAI is on 99.5? That's the same frequency up here that has WRVE FM in Albany. But that's a very good frequency, and unfortunately, and there's a lot of coverage. That station has a lot of coverage. And the problem with that station is that the big players can't buy the radio station. iHeartMedia is filled up with radio stations. Odyssey is filled up with radio stations. I don't see Beasley Media coming into New York. I certainly don't see Hubbard coming into New York. Those are the other stations. And what about some of the other companies? I'm thinking, Cumulus. Well, they already left New York when they got rid of sold up WABC.
What about the guy who owns WABC? He might want to buy it.
He might want to buy it if that was the case. Now, first of all, we're being premature here. I doubt that Pacifica is like a cat that has 9 lives. Well, they've been on life number 25 or 30. They've been in danger of going off the air for quite a while. There's a differences between the board of directors of Pacifica. That's the main board that funds the radio station that comes out of the West Coast, and the people who run the radio station in Brooklyn, New York. It was in its day, and I don't know if you ever got to hear them. Chris, it was in its day a very cutting edge, very liberal, very aware of the problems with they were very big with the Vietnam War. They were very big in covering the civil rights crisis back in the 1960s. They had freeform jazz and they had classical, and they were a cutting edge radio station. Now, well, I don't think they're that much cutting edge anymore, but that's what they were back in the day. But those days are gone, so who knows what's going to happen.
They're one of the few stations that ever got into a hit rock song, so that's pretty good.
And they were also known for the seven dirty words that you're not supposed to say. That gave the Supreme Court said that the standards for obscenity should not be made by the FCC, but for the purient interests of the community. And that in that there's a senator, I forgot, from, is it Rhode Island, that Chris is past story?
Yeah.
And he was on the committee, and he was incensed. And I remember listening to these hearings that WBA would broadcast about the from the about the FCC, and he was incensed with the programming of WBAI, and he wanted that station off the air so bad. But it's still around to this day, and they've been on since since the 1950s.
Well, Jeff, will the cat live?
I think yes.
I bet it does.
Chris, what do you think? I'll ask you first.
I think it was somehow they'll figure something out. It's one of those iconic stations in the country because like I said, it did. That's why it made Ariel, you know, the rock song, because people, at least in New York, totally know what it is. It's it's famous among radio people for that history and the stuff that they did and being cutting edge and everything. So what they ought to do is get rid of that nutrition guy. What good's he doing to them?
Yeah. Well, because he gets a lot of listeners, and that's part of the whole thing. I don't know what's going to happen with them. They are on the internet. You can hear them, and if you could get a copy of the Pacific Archives of some of those programs, of Dale Minor, who ended up going to CBS Radio, Chris, you might have heard the name Dale Minor at some point. Who did his live his coverage from Vietnam and coverage that Neil Conan did in Northern Ireland with the whole crisis in the Irish Republic? They did some very, very interesting programming, and of course they own KPFT in Houston, and they own KPFW in Washington D.C., and they own
stations. They never got in here. I think they used to send programming to WMBR, the MIT station. I don't think they do that anymore, but I haven't listened to MBR in a long time. But they never, you know, the NPR. You know, BU and WGBH grabbed that market with the two big stations.
And so they used to have a show called Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. I don't know if that's still on the air anymore, but that was something that was produced by Pacifica as well. So, you know. Well, I'll turn it over to you, Bill.
Well, we brought back two people on The Legend this week. We've already fooled you guys on one of them. when I said on Monday after the midday brunch show, I said, we've got a new person coming back to The Legend, is because I didn't tell those guys, but the automation computer was now fixed and it was working. So they made it back on the air.
Well, the music was good, Bill.
Right, so the music was good. So it made it back, and Jennifer is making her appearance after 2 weeks being off, and she's still not 100%, but she's coming back.
The IL, that's what we say around here, on the IL.
The IL, yeah, she's on
Joe,
the...
Joe, I know you have your hand raised. Let's do Jennifer's call and her format changes, and we'll definitely take care of your call, okay, Joe? You don't have to put your hand down.
Right. If a host lowers your hand, there's usually a pretty good reason.
Yeah.
And if I don't like what you're doing... you won't lower a hand no more. You won't put it up either. So, in other words, Cooley, we'll get to you in just a moment, because it's not going to take Jenny that long because her voice is not that strong yet.
So they didn't pile up too badly then while she was out.
Yeah. Well, they'll just have to roll on into
next week.
Call letter, whatever. Here we go.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jennifer Sparks, and here are your call letter and format changes for the week of April 18th. KYOO AM 1200 Boulevard, Missouri changes slogan from Your Country 99.3 to Joy 102.9. KPNW FM 98.9 Seattle, Washington changes slogan from 98.9 KPNW to 98.9 The Bowl. WQED FM 89.3 Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania changes slogan from WQED Changes Lives 92 Classic, QED, WQEJ, FM 89.7, Johnstown, Pennsylvania, changes slogan from WQED Changes Lives to Classic QED. WXTC FM 88.1 Greenville, Pennsylvania changes slogan from WQED Changes Lives to Classical QED. KQKZ FM 92.1 Bakersfield, California changes slogan from Q92.1 to Retro 92.1. KZLM FM 107.9 Lewistown, Montana changes city of license to Harlowton. WCOM FM 90.7 Batavia, New York changes city of license to Kendall. WDLS AM 900 Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin changes format from classic country to adult contemporary and changes slogan from country western AM 900 to B102.9 98.5 KRKY FM 88.7 Douglas, Wyoming changes format from variety to religious teaching and changes slogan from K Rocky to Your Network of Praise. KDVA FM 106.7 Buckeye, Arizona changes calls to KFUE FM and changes slogan from Radio La Suavecita to Fuego 106.7. KJHM FM 101.5 Watkins, Colorado changes calls to KSRC FM. WHGV FM 99.5 La Crosse, Florida changes city of license to Gainesville. WMLT AM 1330 Dublin, Georgia changes slogan from 96.9 The Buzz to Faith 96. WQIL FM 101.3 Chauncey, Georgia changes slogan from Q101.3 to Rock 101.3. And those are your call letter and format changes for this week. For All Things Radio, I'm Jennifer Sparks, wishing all of you a very good week.
Thank you, Jennifer. You need another shot or two, maybe.
I can tell
she's
you
improving
what
the, now.
Give her credit though. She got the job done.
Yes, she did.
I can tell you what will improve her voice. And it's actually something that I had to use when I was in college. You drink tea and you put some honey in it, and that will make her throat feel better and her voice feel better.
Right, and so we've got plenty of tea on hand, and she can have tea and honey and whatever the case may be. So hope we don't get something like that again.
No,
you know what it was, Bill? She got too excited after being in sports, talking all that baseball on Tuesday. You think that might have been it?
That was it, but she had recorded that before that, unfortunately. But she's coming back. It just takes a little bit of time. I guess we better deal with that hand. And I'm telling you, folks.
We have Joe, and then we have Bob out in wherever.
And if you come on with noise, you're going to exit with noise. So please, 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 no noise. Okay. Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay. Joe, unmute yourself, please. All day. There you go. You're unmuted. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anyway, Democracy Now! Is still on the air. It's carried locally here, KUNM, our NPR/community radio station. Most of the time, you won't see an NPR station carrying Democracy Now!, but KUNM is of a different. They like to do a lot of other community based Pacifica, other programs that most NPR stations wouldn't touch. But I know that WBAI, I guess you would consider that the flagship station for Democracy Now. There's some commercial stations, Minneapolis 950. I don't remember what the call letters are, but because they're on the left side of this political spectrum. But anyway, amazingly, through all of these different changes, specifically, Democracy Now! Is still on.
Well, thank you, Joe, and give our best to Ellen. Thank you very much, and we appreciate the, what you're talking about. Thank you.
I think that station's too far to the left for me.
And Bob, you're up next. Can you unmute yourself, please? You've gotten the ask to unmute star. Was it star?
Star six.
Star six on the touchtone phone. Go ahead, Bob. You're next.
I understand that they are thinking about building electric roads in order to help charge the electric cars, and I thought, well, that ought to be the killer for that. Ought to be the end then of AM radio.
Well, they're not actually roads. They're going to put charging plates in the on the road, so that as your wheels go over the road, and there are sensors that will charge the battery as you're driving. But that's going to take a long time to work, Bob.
Yeah, there was an X minus one about that. The roads. That was a very good episode where the roads stopped running and nobody knew what to do anymore. You know, so but they were road that you'd just get on and it would propel you, and then it stopped and no one knew what to do.
Thank you very much, Bob. Really, thank you. Well, I think it's very interesting, but unfortunately, I don't know that's going to save AM radio. I think as Bernie is right about this, he's been talking about it for a long time, that AM is really on its death throes. No matter what Congress does, no matter what the legislatures do, it'll be around, but it won't. But it won't make any money. All right, Charles in Baltimore, Maryland, we're going to unmute you.
Okay.
When you get that asked to unmute, please hit star six on your touchtone phone to unmute yourself. Go ahead, Charles.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, yep. You can. Go ahead, please.
Okay, yes. I know John Sterling's coming up. And
yes.
He was in Baltimore from 1964 until maybe 71, I guess, when he left. He was on WCBM for several years. And in 69, he was on WAYE 860 AM. It used to be a sunset station. Mm-hmm. It's no longer there, of course, and he was really good. He was a good talk show host.
Did he ever end up on WBAL or not, Charles?
No, he never ended up on BAL, no.
And it was not a sports talk show that he did about in Baltimore. He did a general political talk show, that I do know.
Right, yes, it was, a general political one, and I can't find anything on the Internet about that or any from the stations when he was on.
Well...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I have looked at doing the same thing as well as you, and I don't see any air checks of that stuff. However, he was good, and he changed his character over the years. When he was a sports talk show at WMCA, he started off being very pleasant, then they wanted him to be very aggressive and nasty with the listeners, and he had that kind of face, and he didn't like doing it, and he said that at one point. And he got back to his old self again. All right, thank you very much, Charles.
Oh yeah, when he did the talk show in Atlanta on WSB, he was pretty pleasant with people. And also when he and Michael Kay did it on WABC on nights that the I don't know who they were broadcasting, the Nets and the or the Devil, I guess the Devils. Whenever they weren't doing that on WABC, he and Michael Kay would do a show together, a sports talk show, and they were pleasant, so that was good.
Wasn't there an American Hockey League in at one time in New York State? I don't remember the name of the team. Was it like the New York Blades or some other team? You might remember this.
The World Hockey Association did have a New York franchise, and that could have been the Blades. I can't remember. What John Sterling did that's unique is he broadcast all four sports at one time or another. He did football because he did the New York Raiders, and there was another for the UFL, or USFL. No, it wasn't the USFL. It was a WFL. And I forget what the other team was that he did, but I heard him doing a football game one time on WMCA. He did hockey. He did the Islanders for WMCA. He, of course, did baseball, and he did basketball for the New Jersey Nets and the Atlanta Hawks. So he did all four major sports on the air, and that is something that never is done. We had a guy, Dale Arnold, that did the same, but not as much as John did. But my point is, it's something that people don't do anymore. You know, if you're a baseball announcer, that's what you do. And he did that But I guess I could tell my two John Sterling stories before we start. Doesn't matter whether I do them before or after. I knew that he was a, and I remembered the name and I heard his voice being, but his Wikipedia thing is very thin. It doesn't cover as much as, you know, Charles just told us more about his Baltimore time than we would have known. But he was in Providence at WPRO, and Joe Castiglione said the other day, well, I know that he was the sports anchor on, you know, the 11, the news on Channel 12 in Providence. But he also had a show, a rock show on WPRO, which was a rock station in the 60s. And I imagine that he enjoyed playing Tony Bennett and Nat King Cole and Frank Sinatra more than he enjoyed playing the Beatles and the Rolling Stones or whatever he was doing. But, you know, and he would have fit in with that station because he had a very pleasant delivery. And they were a personality radio station. They weren't yelling and screaming. WICE was more of that. So that would have worked. The other thing I want to tell you, the first time I ever really paid attention to him, there was a playoff game between the Bullets, Baltimore Bullets, and the Philadelphia 76ers. And I expected it to be covered on Armed Forces by the 76ers and Andy Musser, who I really enjoyed. But for some reason, they picked up the Bullets feed, even though the Bullets were home. And John Sterling did the game, and I started out being kind of mad. Oh, I wanted to hear Andy do this game. And he was very good. And I'm sitting there saying, you know, I'm enjoying this. This guy is good, you know. And I had not thought of him as the Channel 12 guy, but I realized later that he was. But he really was a talented guy. He could do a talk show, Charles said, political. Apparently, he did sports talk. He did all four sports. He did, just could talk about anything. If you asked him any question, he could talk about it. He all his. Home run references and things like that go back into the 50s and 60s and, for the music, and just a very knowledgeable person, you know, and you just don't see that anymore.
When did he announce for the Braves?
That would have been in the early 80s.
Right, about 82 to 87, yeah. I think it said in the Wikipedia. And I also heard an interesting thing one day. I hadn't thought about this, but on WHGH, the old WHGH at 850, it was Thanksgiving Day of 1987, and Sean McDonough was doing, remember, at that time he was still pretty young. He was a backup guy at HGH helping with Patriots pre- and post-game shows and things like that. And he had the lucky job of doing the Thanksgiving Day show about 4 in the afternoon. And in walk John Sterling and Ed Coleman. Ed Coleman was from Malden, Massachusetts, and he had just gotten his job at WFAN. And John Sterling was there to do the Hawks the next night against the Celtics. And so they just started sitting around talking about sports. And I said, these are three of my – I already liked Sean, and I knew Ed Coleman. I knew who he was because he'd been on ITS for a few years before he went to New York. I said, these are three of my favorites. This is my Thanksgiving Day present. We had come back from where we were going, and I'm sitting there listening to these three guys that I really liked. It was a great show that probably four of us were listening to.
Now, yeah. There was an article, I believe, it was in yesterday's Athletic, that said, because you know inevitably this question will come up, so I'll just go ahead and answer it now. For the rest of this season, Justin Shackle and the Islanders announcer, whose last name is Babari, are going to do a vast majority of the game. And if there's ever a game that they can't do, Ricky Ricardo, the Spanish announcer, would fill in. And then they will make a full decision, you know, for his full-time replacement. That decision will be made at the end of the season.
Right, but they didn't have a lot of time to make that. Right.
Originally, they had told everybody last year when this started, when John cut back, that Justin Shackle would be it, but maybe
that still
may happen, but it may not be anything against him. He may have thought about it, maybe, who knows, but
these guys also do a lot of other sports too, so you know,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
and but
they,
now
they fill
the
in
good,
on guests and so forth,
yeah,
don't they?
Now the good
yeah.
thing with Shackle and Babari is that they have both filled in the past, and Susan Waltman works well with both of them.
Yes, I've heard her with Justin and Ricky Ricardo too. I haven't heard Babari yet, but I will. And Susan is very adaptable. She's a real pro. She's very interesting. She didn't start out at 21 years old like John did as being a radio guy. She was a Broadway singer and, you know, just got into radio. I don't know what she did before she got to FAN, if anything, on radio, but she was the first voice heard on FAN. And she does not do play-by-play, but she's an excellent analyst and very committed to the team. Grew up as a Red Sox fan, but we traded her for Joe Castiglione, who grew up as a Yankee fan.
And you know what, Crystal, she'll never lose that New England accent that she has.
She doesn't, no. She's from Newton, and you know it. That is for sure. You just totally know she's from Newton, and she's really fun to listen to, and her heart is on her sleeve all the time. And those players, to her, are like her grandsons. When she talks to them, they open up to her because she's their mother. It's your grandmother. You know, you just talk to her. And it's a different vibe when she does interviews than anybody else. It's great.
Well, these announcers might be, you know, kind of in that vein too, Chris, because Shackle is 36 and Babari is 24. So,
right. Well, she's about my age. She's about 75. So, something like that. That's for sure.
But yeah, let's.
Well, at least he had a choice to retire here, and let's listen to it. A lot of us don't get that choice. We're just gone. We're gone. So here we go.
I have a statement to read. Man, breaks my heart. I will miss him. We all will miss him. But here's a statement from the New York Yankees legendary Yankee voice John Sterling to retire. His unprecedented tenure to be recognized on Saturday, April 20th at Yankee Stadium. So here's the official word. The New York Yankees today announced that legendary Yankees play-by-play radio voice John Sterling, who has called, get this, 5,420 regular season games.
Wow.
And 211 postseason games, is retiring effective immediately. He will be recognized in a pregame ceremony on Saturday, April 20th, and will visit the WFAN booth during the game. Additionally, he'll be made available to the media in the Yankee Stadium press conference room prior to the 1:05 p.m. matchup versus Tampa Bay. Statement from the Yankees. Fans find a certain comfort in the daily rhythms of baseball. Day in and day out, season after season, the city after city, John Sterling used his seat in the broadcast booth to bring Yankee fans the heartbeat of the game, employing an orotund voice. Is that what it means? Orotund? Orotund voice and colorful personality that were distinctively, unmistakably his own. John informed and entertained, and he exemplified what it meant to be a New Yorker with an unapologetic and boisterous style that exuded his passion for baseball, broadcasting, and the New York Yankees. That is so beautifully well written because it's so freaking true, man.
Right. He also went on to say, and we're going to have him here in a second. This is his statement, and you'll hear the voice of John Sterling in just a second. I am a very blessed human being. I've been able to do what I wanted, broadcast for 64 years. Wow, that's a blessing. As a little boy growing up in New York as a Yankee fan, I was able to broadcast the Yankees for 36 years. It's all to my benefit, and I leave very, very happy. I look forward to seeing everyone again on Saturday.
Well, here he is. Forever, from my generation, for many generations, there will only be one. The voice of the New York Yankees. The great John Sterling. John, congratulations. How are you?
Well, fellas, thank you. You brought me to tears.
You're bringing a lot of people to tears, man. We love you. You're a legend, man.
Well, anyway, thank you. You know, I guess if I was smarter, and I'm not, if I was smarter, I would have done this, you know, March 1st or March 31st. During the winter, the Yankees, as you know, didn't make the playoffs. And so we were free on, you know, October 3rd. And October, November, December, January, February, March. I lived my life as happy as I've lived it, including listening to you guys all the time and watching all the games. You know, I'm the greatest sports fan in history. And I got TVs all over the joint. And I should have stopped then. Anyway, I just don't want to do any more work. You know, I've worked for 64 years, and in July I'll be 86. So, you know, let's face it, my time has come.
Was it a hard decision for you when you ultimately made it? I know you haven't called the last couple of games, and Justin Shackle and Emmanuel Babari have been filling in with Susan. Was it hard for you to make this decision, John?
No, not really. In fact, it wasn't hard at all. It's something I've wanted for a long time. I want to run my life. I live in Edgewater, in a terrific place that I love dearly, a big place. And I know the life I want to lead. I just lived it from October till the end of March. And anyway, no, it was not a hard decision, and I can't wait for it to finally happen. As I've told my family, I've got four kids who are grown, and my friends, I've said, well, now we can have dinner anytime. So that's how I feel. And one more thing, I don't have to tell you what a terrific guy Chris Olivero is. After all these years,
he's all right.
Yeah, I have a boss that's so intelligent and well-meaning. And I guess I could just do the home games. But you know what's true, fellas? I don't want to get up in the afternoon and have to go somewhere. In fact, I'd much rather listen to you guys and then listen to the game and watch. You know, I can watch 800 games here. So, in fact, that's my plan. I'm going to watch and listen to 162 Yankee games, Mets games, all the games on Turner and ESPN, all the games on MLB. So.
In listening to you over the years, I learned that Susan taught you how to do that, Dad. She would teach you how to get the MLB package and see all these games, and now you could put it to good use and watch everything all day long, John.
Well, I don't want to destroy the story. Susan can't teach me anything because I don't have the equipment. I have regular TVs, but believe me, I'm very good at DVR. And, a master of DVR. Anyway, I will be very happy in my retirement.
Well, I'm glad. You know, you said earlier you could have done this on March 1st. I'm glad you didn't selfishly. And I'll tell you why Yankee fans are glad. Because who knows where this season's going? They could win it all. The Yankees look pretty good. And the fact that you were a part of this season, calling a Juan Soto home run, and just especially that first series in Houston, in Arizona, your voice, we were talking about this on the air, your Yankees win call after the finale against the Diamondbacks felt playoff-like. It felt big. So I'm glad, and I know Yankee fans are glad, that your voice was a part of what could very well be a very special season for the New York Yankees.
I happen to agree with you. I think this really could be a special season. You know, the change in Anthony Volpe is just unbelievable. And we were so worried going in about the pitching of Rodon and Cortes and Schmitty, and they're all pitching well. Now, it's a long, long season, but we're going to get Garrett Cole back, and we'll see.
So you will be at Yankee Stadium on Saturday. Everybody going to Yankee Stadium will get a chance to give you what you deserve, which is a standing ovation and a farewell. And you deserve that. And I'm glad you're going to have that on Saturday. And anytime you want to talk Yankee baseball, you know, you call us. We'll pop you on anytime you want, man.
Well, I'd love that. Now, you guys should know, excuse me for a moment. You guys should know, you know, the talk show you're doing?
Yep.
I understand what you're doing perfectly. I landed the talk show at MCA. First of all, you guys weren't born in April of 72. And I had a talk show in Baltimore, but that was World War III. That was general. But the sports talk show is such a great believer in that part of the medium. Anyway, you guys do a great job. Please keep it up. And anytime you want me, just give a call.
Well, congratulations, man. You had a tremendous career, a great career. I was saying this on the air earlier, from my age demographic, you are the voice of the year, the only voice of the Yankees, and you will be sorely missed. But congratulations, man. You deserve that time with your family, and we're all going to miss you, John.
Well, thank you so much, and be well and do well, okay?
Most certainly. Congratulations,
thank you,
John.
The great, the legendary John Sterling. As he has announced that his brilliant career is coming to its conclusion. Beautiful statement by the Yankees. You want to hear the statement from us, WFAN? Let's rate how WFAN did with their statement. Yankees radio will never quite sound the same without the signature voice, wit, and humor of John Sterling. To generations of Bronx Bombers fans, he was a beloved companion that when you heard John, you knew it was time for baseball. Though he never wore the pinstripes, except, of course, for his fine tailored suits. He was one of the most colorful personalities in Yankee history and all of New York City radio. All of us at WFAN tip our cap and salute our colleague and friend on a truly iconic career. Beautiful state.
That may be the last time you hear some New York media on this sports segment, Jeff, but that was a good one.
That was a good one, and he really did sound like he was retiring because he really wanted to. Everyone made some rumors up here that, oh, his health is bad. I don't know that that was the case. I just think that at some point, you know, in your life, at 85, going on 86, that it's, you know, it's time for me to get off the train.
The only thing that puts credence to it to me, first of all, there was a little line in the Andrew Marchand article about it that mentioned that he had health concerns. The other thing is, if you are having all that fun with watching the TV and the sports, and it gets to be January, and you say, am I going to go down to Florida and go to spring training and do all this or not? So the suddenness of it kind of gets me, just that it was, they had set it up that he was going to take certain trips and not others, you know, and not go that far. And then suddenly he retired. So I do put some credence in that, but I, you know, he didn't say it. And, you know, I'm just saying Marchand had it in his column, and he's a sports media reporter who wrote a book with him. So they're close, and he did have it in there. So maybe it's there for people who want to read deeply into it to know. But he's not going to go into specifics or anything like that. But the suddenness is what gets me.
Chris, do you have somebody in the
background? I hope at 85 I sound as good as
that. Yeah. Do you have somebody in the background giving you some competition?
Gideon agrees with me. He says, you know, he might be a little off his catnip right now, but he will do better, and he'll be well soon.
By the way, only one quick thing about John Sterling. I remember that he was doing an interview. And this was in his days when he was kind of, I guess, controversial, and they wanted him to be more controversial rather than relaxed like he was today when you got to hear him. And he had an interview with Muhammad Ali, and he must have asked, I remember he asked Muhammad Ali a question. Maybe it was talking about the draft and about the Vietnam War or something. And Muhammad Ali didn't want to talk about it, and he picked up an ashtray, threw it down on the table, and walked out in the middle of the interview.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Oh, I didn't hear that one. Well, the other thing is, speaking of Gideon, that John Sterling did, oh, yeah. I guess, on the Animal Planet channel, on New Year's Day, he would do the kitten bowl. And I don't know what the kitten bowl was or what the cats had to do or carry footballs or what they were supposed to do. But he supposedly did that because somebody on one of our groups on the phone mentioned it, and it was in the Wikipedia article. So he did something in his inimitable style describing what the kittens were doing in the kitten bowl. So that's pretty cool.
Well, we've went from Nine Lives to the Kitten Bowl.
Yeah,
I'd say
night here, and we were talking about Tony Katz before that. Yeah. So here we go. It's one of those nights.
it's one of those nights here on the. But you never know what we're going to
talk. Next week we'll talk about dogs, and we'll work something. We'll maybe do something about the Georgia Bulldogs again or something. We'll see.
Or the pit bulls. So who knows what we'll do?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get the pit bull involved.
Yeah. So we don't know what we'll do, but. Jeff, I thought you might like that, and me as a rarity doing a New York piece. But we try to go where the stories are breaking. You know what I mean?
I did like that interview. I mean, I am not as much. I certainly don't know anything about. I don't know anything about sports like you guys do from the Sports Lounge. But I did enjoy that interview.
Me too.
So, Jeff, you've got something coming up next.
Well, something we don't do a lot of. Denny in the San Jose who listens to the show says, you know, you don't do a lot of West Coast stuff, and I have a lot more West Coast stuff that I've been getting lately than East Coast stuff. And the station was owned by AFCO, the corporation. It's KYA in San Francisco, California, and it goes back to 1970, and they were still a top 40 station. And
1260 on the dial. Yeah.
1260 KYA, and so. I think you might enjoy this, and it's not a boss radio station, but they had their own niche, and we've done KYA before, but we haven't done a lot of KYA. So,
I think Bonnie summed it up best when she said you were East Coast centric.
That's what she said once. Wow.
That's what she said. Remember?
But she would say that, and then she would say, when I brought a West Coast air check in, it was, oh, and if she likes him, she'd go, oh, Jeff, that is just so great. Remember, she used to do that on the voicemail. So.
But I had to tease you just a little bit. Just a little. But Bonnie did say that, yeah.
By the way, I'm really not here. I'm really an artificial intelligent. Never mind. We won't go there.
I'm not going to say what I was going to say, so I better just be quiet and play the segment. How about that? For the next 10 minutes, enjoy this.
This week in my classic air check segment, we're taking the virtual time machine back to March 26, 1970, and we're traveling to San Francisco, California, and we're going to listen to KYAAM, the radio announcers you're going to hear, Bwana Johnny and Pete McNeil. So without further ado, why don't sit back and enjoy radio station KYAAM in San Francisco, California, from March 26, 1970, on this week's edition of All Things Radio Live.
It's 9:30 on the Bwana Johnny Show. Summertime, 1966, for the seeds. And you got me pushing too hard. It's 9:33 on a KYA Thursday morning with Bwana Johnny.
When you get to the thirsty part of today, remember this.
Things pick up when you put down a Bergie.
Pour a Bergie down over that feeling and get a light, refreshing Pilsner quality working for you.
Things pick up when you put down a Bergie.
For one of the good things, have a Bergie.
Thursday through Sunday at Bill Graham's Fillmore West, Market and Van Ness in the city, a triple dynamite bill with Chicago, the James Cotton Blues Band, and Fritz and the Family. Chicago, with two hit LPs, has become one of the brightest success stories of 1970. Chicago, the James Cotton Blues Band, and Fritz and the Family. This Thursday through Sunday nights, Fillmore West dance concerts begin at 8:30. This is KYA, some kind of radio. That's 11-year-old Michael Jackson in a Jackson 5. Fastest-selling record ever to come out of Motown. 12 days, and it became a million seller for ABC. It's 23 before 10 with Bwana Johnny. The Art Department of South San Francisco High School invites KYA listeners to their 8th annual student art show. That'll be April 3rd, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the school. That's Ray Stevens. Everything is beautiful. It's 9:41 at KYA with Bwana Johnny. Everything may be beautiful, but there's one thing we need to worry about. That's venereal disease. In fact, it's become such a problem in the state of California that a crash program to do something about it begins next week. Larry Brownell has details of that.
That's right, Bono. There's some very frightening figures now in VD being thrown at us from both the state and the local level. And this is Larry Brownell with another special report from KYA News.
Out of sight. That's about attempts. And I wish it would rain. But not today. And not for a long time in the San Francisco Bay Area, man. It's going to be 75 and beautiful. It's 9:47 on KYA with Bwana Johnny.
And now, an important announcement from Gillette.
It's bad news. Oh, this is really bad news. Just listen to this. Now you can get the Gillette Tecmatic razor free when you buy a Tecmatic 10-edge adjustable razor band. That's right. The Gillette Tecmatic razor is free. Now that may be good news for you, but it's bad news for the nubs. You know what the nubs are, those little whiskers your razor never gets. Well, the bad news for the nubs is this. They're through, finished, because Gillette Tecmatic is the razor that gets the nubs. And now the Tecmatic razor is free. I repeat, free. Just look for the package that says Free Tecmatic Razor by Gillette. Like I said, a free Tecmatic razor may be good news for you, But it's bad news for the knobs.
The KYA March of Prizes pays off.
This hour, I've got three KYA instant winners. Jerry E., Linda Coombs, and Joe Quesada. Your cards have been picked at random from the March of Prizes mailbags, and we'll be sending you each a pair of passes to see the first full-length Peanuts color movie, A Boy Named Charlie Brown.
All contestants are automatically entered in the grand prize drawing to win a 1970 Corvette. Join the parade of winners. Send your name and address to the March of Prizes.
KYA San Francisco.
Presented by Tom McCann, Spalding, and...
KYA Radio 1260.
Sellers and Ringo Starr, that's Bad Finger. And if you want it, you can come and get it. It's 9:51 at KYA. This is Juan and Johnny. Turning you on to Pete McNeil at 10 o'clock this morning.
KYA, San Francisco weather.
Fair and warm, although not quite as hot as yesterday. 75 predicted high for today, low tonight of around 50. It's a good day to make it over to Tiburon and sit on the docks there over at Sam's and look at all the boats coming in. That's groovy. Currently 65 in San Francisco. Got a future hit. Gladys Knight in the pits. You need love like I do. Oh, that's got to be a monster. That's Gladys Knight and the Pips. And you need love like I do, babes. 9:55 at KYA. This is Juan and Johnny.
Rated G, general audience.
Oh, see that champion Charlie Brown today at Sun Valley Cinema in Concord or the Southland Cinema in Hayward. Pete McNeil is next. San Francisco, you got a great day in store for you. Enjoy it. I'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Carry on. My goodness, it's 10 a.m. Good morning, San Francisco and the Bay Area. Hi, this is Pete McNeil. Got another beautiful day going for us. Going to be around till 2. Some kind of radio. You better believe it. Certainly, certainly where the hits keep happening. Good morning, this is Pete McNeil.
Tank, 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 tank. It's winning half a blast like the astronaut gang. They made it to the moon along with energy tank. Tank drinks, breakfast drink with vitamin C. Just mix it in the morning for your whole family. So start each day with what it takes to keep on the run. Drink orange flavored tank, the energizer.
Orange-flavored Tang is the instant breakfast drink with more vitamin C than orange juice. Tang was chosen to go to the moon with the Apollo astronauts. Good reason why you should choose it for your family, too.
Tang's the instant breakfast drink with vitamin C. Yay! Just mix it in the morning for your whole family. Ooh. So start each day with what it takes to keep on the run. Drink orange-flavored Tang, the energizer.
For spacemen and Earth families, Energy Tang.
Play Tiny Tots Cooperative Nursery School is having its fourth annual silent auction Sunday, April the 12th at 1 p.m. at the Helmet Club in Berkeley. And KYA passes the word that babysitting will be available. Proceeds will be used for scholarships. Bulls hits coming at you at 10:09 at KYA. This is Pete McNeil. Good morning to you. Here's a Superman from the action line already. From Mel Peters in South San Francisco. Edison Lighthouse takes care of his. My love's growing where my rosemary's going.
She ain't got no money. Radio KYA, Golden Gate Crane.
This is Pete McNeil on KYA, the home of the hits. Action lines are open. Oakland 762-5540. I'd like to hear what you want to hear, so give me a call right now. Marmalades, picking up on some traces in our memories and some reflections of our lives. Listen.
The changing.
actions of our lives.
Future Hit on KYA. This is Pete McNeil. It's 10:17. Hi, and a good morning to you on this beautiful, beautiful Thursday morning in the Bay Area.
Now, in the grand tradition of What's New, Pussycat.
Now playing at the Royal Theater in San Francisco and the Cine 7 over in Oakland. This is KYA. Now on the Corvette Countdown as the March of Prizes enters its final phase. Tom McCann, Spalding, and KYA urge you to send us your name and address today. Send it to KYA, Radio 1, Outfield Circle, San Francisco. The zip is 94108. Sam and Dave and Soul Man from back in 1967, picking up on those solid gold memories from 3 years past. Hi, this is Pete McNeil. It's 10:21. Glad you could join me.
Radio KYA's weather break.
Looks like another beautiful day here in the Bay Area, like we've been having for the last couple of weeks. Fair and warm, says the weatherman. High today, 75. Not quite as warm as it was yesterday. Low tonight, 50, 65 degrees currently in San Francisco.
Well, there you go. A trip back in time to March 26, 1970, at radio station KYA AM in San Francisco, California, with the radio announcers Juan Andrade and Pete McNeil. Now, if you have any comments concerning this part of the program, or if there's a classic air check that you'd like me to present, why don't let me know about it by email or voicemail. For All Things Radio Live, I'm Jeff Bennett.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Quite an interesting station.
Yeah, I like KYA. Yep. I mean, I like Buona Johnny. And Mike, you knew him. Tell me a little bit about him that you remember. If you're
okay, sure. Well, I met Buona back when he used to come to the country station when I was working there. And Buona was a very, very nice person. He was great at WFUN. He was funny, and he was just a very nice guy.
Thank you. Thank you. And he worked at WWDJ, as I said, in Hackensack, New Jersey, back in 1971. Right. A station that, if it were on FM, not AM, would have probably been a competitor. But unfortunately, they didn't have the signal. Even though they tried to upgrade it, they didn't have the signal. And they dropped the country format when Pacific and Southern bought the station. And they went to Top 40. And some really good people worked there. Buona Johnny was there. Mike Phillips was there. Gary Russell was there, who came from Atlanta, Georgia. They had a whole bunch of other radio announcers. Sean Casey worked at WORFM. He was at WWDJ. Tony Taylor did a little bit of work there. So many people. Steve Clark. It goes on and on and on. But unfortunately, they just couldn't do it. So
I think they had the Mets at the time too, didn't they?
That didn't help them initially because they didn't want to carry the Mets, but they had no choice. They had the contract, and they had Bob Brown doing the pregame and postgame shows. So yeah, they did. I remember when they were country. I also remember when they were middle of the road and they had folk song shows hosted by Jerry White, when he played Dave Van Ronk and Bob Dylan and all kinds of folk music, protest songs of the '60s. And I remember talking to Jerry White, and he said, you know, folk music is dead. It's not like it used to be, but it was back then. And they were a staunch middle of the road station. They had jazz too at one time. They were a little of everything in the day.
Yeah, and if you thought you heard the Archies, you did. That was the Archies doing a commercial for Tang. There you go.
They were studio
Ron
musicians.
Dante.
That's right.
Ron Dante. Yep.
That's right, Chris. I was going to say that but I figured you'd know that. And they were studio musicians, and they did a lot of commercials. Besides, you know, everyone remembers when with Sugar Sugar, you know, but they were definitely
And they were also the Cufflinks who did Tracy. I mean, they're the same people, so
That's right.
When I was in San Francisco, I was trying to get a guide dog and listening to KYA back about 77, I think it was. KYA sounded really dead. They were just playing a lot of music and not doing hardly any talking.
Well, they were trying to compete with the FM stations, even though, as I said before, that was a big problem. And when FM was really catching fire, and it was, and then 77, they said, how can we compete with the FM stations? WNBC did the same thing when Bob Pittman took over the reins at WNBC AM when he came to New York from WMAQ in Chicago, and they kind of became an FM-sounding AM station. It did not do well, but it was different. And I remember when the format changed. They had fired Don Imus. They had fired pretty much the complete staff. Chris, you might remember that Johnny Dark came over to WNBC from WRKO in Boston. Bat Johnson came in. He was a jazz radio announcer later on in New York City. They had Lee Masters, who is now the head of National Public Radio. I mean, it was just crazy to see the changes that hit this radio industry. That's all I can say. It did.
Yeah.
What's here today is always gone tomorrow in radio. Nothing is static in radio anymore. So.
And the thing about San Francisco, like Boston, they would have gotten FM a little faster. You know, people were a little more into tech and had, you know, stereos. And, you know, this is where the counterculture was and the college students. So Boston and San Francisco are, you know, linked in a lot of ways. They're similar cities and outlooks and so forth. But the thing is that FM hit faster in markets like that than it might have in other places, because people had the equipment, could really hear, you know, had stereos and had nice sets and could hear this stuff. And so the FM, we had WVBF getting going in WKOX-FM, but then VBF in 71, and it really started to affect RKO and MEX. They really couldn't compete once people could go over there and hear the music with better sound.
Mm-hmm. All right, we do have, and I never remember the phone numbers, but we have someone in 707 land.
That's Edwin, I bet
you. That's Edwin out there in the West Coast.
Oh, that's there you go, right from the Bay Area.
Yes, it's me. I used to listen to KYA, but when I got FM in the 60s, I listened to it on FM. Mm-hmm. But it's probably the AM also had one other problem. It didn't go far. It couldn't compete, like we say, with even KFRC, you know, right, 610.
Well, yeah, and they were on that graveyard frequency like WNDR in Syracuse. That 1260 frequency had a lot of stations on it.
That's right.
And another problem that the FM had was KYA probably didn't have the money to make it stereo. It would stay mono for the longest time.
What was your favorite station before we let you go out there on the West Coast when you were growing up and listening to that radio? Was there a favorite that you had back then?
Yeah, all the black stations, KDIA especially.
Oh, right. So you like KDIA, right. And you probably like, and I was going to say KGFJ, but that was in Los Angeles, so you wouldn't be able to hear them. But KDIA was a good station. They had, that's where Roscoe Bill Mercer worked. Roscoe Mercer worked there as well. So, all right, thank you, Edwin.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And that's right. You know, you have that's similar to 1510. You know, you're trying to compete with the guys down the dial, KFRC, WRKO. So it was a similar issue there. But KYA had a good personalities. They had a lot of people come through there. I think Ed Hyder was there. Different other ones at different times.
Yeah, Russ the Moose, Syracuse, and some of the people. Well, the only thing I want to say is, and I really want to hear, we don't get to hear a lot from the listeners, and we do have a feedback line. We really want to know what you think of what's going on with All Things Radio. We've been doing this for about 15 years now.
15 years.
And we really want to hear from you guys. That feedback line is always open, 800-693-0595. Hit option 2 for the podcast team. We really want to know what you're thinking, and can we make the show better? Are we doing things right? What are we doing wrong? It really would be Bill really runs a thing. I'm just I'm just second here. But Bill is really the head honcho here, and I really want to know what you got.
No, I'm nothing, Jeff.
Wow. But we really want to hear what you guys think. Are there things that we're not doing that you'd like to have more of? So please let us know.
Yep. And that was good music on that. But you notice, again, I always mention this, when we get to the late 60s, early 70s, you heard that about a third to half their songs were oldies, because they were trying to figure if that would work, maybe go back 3 or 4 years and
you know,
their mamas and papas.
Listen to Top 40 today, and the Top 40 is a lot of older Top 40 now. There's not a lot of new Top 40 coming out each year. Bernie and I were talking about it on a podcast a few weeks ago. That it is coming around, and it's the same thing is happening right now. So let's give it to Bill so we can wrap this up so I can get my fifth cup of coffee. No, I'm just kidding. I've cut back on the coffee.
Yeah, it's
he
not
got back from
tonic
five
yet.
To
it's
six.
Not warm enough, is it, Jeff?
Oh, it's not. I love gin and tonics, but it's. I got to be careful. I got a doctor's appointment coming up for a regular physical, so I don't want
to.
You know.
Oh, you have to be good before they see the doctor. Okay.
That's right.
It's too late, Jeff.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow. For those who are interested, we're doing 1964 on the on the show, Friday flashback. I'm going to send my list to Bill, and we'll pull that together. And tonight, Tim is doing 1977 for his countdown. And Pam, after we do 1964 tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. Eastern, she will be doing 1959, and that's going to be interesting. I might listen to that.
I will be previewing this at 10:30 in the morning for the Legend Morning Show.
Right, that's I'll be slaving over my hot cookbook that I have to read.
Just remember, Chris, when it's springtime in Alaska, it's 40 below.
It is.
My stepdaughter, was living in Alaska, and she said that's very true. It's very cold out there. So
yeah. Well, Jeff, let me tell you a little bit about this station you're doing from an Indiana perspective. There's two radio stations. There's one at 94.3, the one that you're doing, but they've also got one on in Rushville, Indiana, and they're both about equal distances from Indianapolis, so you can take your antenna one way and get WREB and swing it around and get WIFE-FM. And so your station's been around a long, long time. They've been country. They've been whatever. They're trying to find something to niche. But they're in a small market. Greencastle, Indiana's not exactly, you know, a metropolis or anything like that. But, you know, I can get them on an everyday basis if I really wanted to. But we'll get to hear them tonight in full stereo. So anything else you want to say about this station?
No, I really didn't have a problem with them. I thought they played a fairly good mix of classic rock. They played a lot of newer classic rock with some very classic with them. You know, very familiar classic rock there from the 60s and stuff that I would know. So I really think they did a pretty good job. Are they spectacular? Well, all the radio stations today sound about the same, but I think they really try to do a good job. A lady who does the voice tracking does a pretty good job with it, so I think you'll enjoy it.
So, Tim, you've got about 8 minutes and 17 seconds. Well, by the time we get the promo over the wrap up, maybe about 8 minutes and 30 seconds.
We'll get so almost half hour.
Get on it, Tim, because you're coming up. You've got to wake up now. So thank you to the crew. Thanks, everyone. Thank you. And all have a good week. Thanks all the listeners, all the participants. And here we go with WREB. Don't judge Indiana by this particular radio station, though. Because I guarantee there's more going on than this. But here we go.
This week in my featured station segment, we're traveling to Greencastle, Indiana, and we're going to listen to radio station WREB-FM. The station recently dropped their adult contemporary format in favor of classic rock. The station is now calling themselves Giant FM. So without further ado, why not sit back and enjoy WREB-FM on this week's edition of All Things Radio Live.
Other stations just tease. We leave you begging for more. Giant FM.
So much fun.
Fun and upbeat. Doesn't put me to sleep.
It's time to shove a jalapeno up the ship's tailpipe. Giant FM.
Once you start listening,
you won't be able to stop.
Things go well, I might be showing them my old face.
Prepare yourself for the greatest addiction, Giant FM.
It's also a nice day to turn up your radio and listen to WREB all day long. Billy Idol on REB. 7 out of 10 people would like this to be different about them. Do you have any idea what that could be? I am one of those 7 of 10. Be a little taller. I'm 5'1" on a good day, and my ideal height is at least 5'4" or 5'5", just so I can blend in with everyone else. Here's the Doors. WREB.
Discover the taste of excellence at Myers Market, Putnam County's premier meat counter for 10 years. Myers Market offers the finest Midwest-raised beef, pork, and chicken cut fresh daily and is the area's only location with Boar's Head premium deli meats and cheeses. From fresh cuts to catering services, they are dedicated to making your meals memorable. Shop your locally owned and operated Myers Market at 302 East Washington Street in Greencastle and see why customers say they are the best butcher shop in central Indiana.
Other stations just tease. We leave you begging for more. Giant FM. To rock.
This is Angus Young of AC/DC.
Hi, this is Joe Elliott from Def Leppard.
I'm Axel. I'm Slash.
WREB, Ramcastle, Giant FM Rocks.
This is my kind of music.
A Three Towers Broadcasting Company station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen.
Connect your phone to your Bluetooth speakers. Open the Giant FM app and expose the neighborhood to great music.
We're singing John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora's parts in that song, right? I do it all the time. Wanted Dead or Alive, Bon Jovi on WREB Classic Rock. Def Leppard, Sticks Ahead. Now Green Day.
Music to do everything by, and we do mean everything.
Yes! Yes!
Giant FM.
Driving.
Well, I do love to listen while I'm driving.
So you don't have road rage.
It's relief.
So see?
Giant FM.
Need a jump? Looking for a tow? Have you locked yourself out? We know who to call. Seniors Towing in Greencastle. Seniors Towing is a full-service towing company, and they'll go above and beyond to meet your needs. Whether you need roadside assistance to accident towing, Seniors works with several insurance companies to make sure you're taken care of. Even if you get stuck in the mud, Seniors Towing is here for you. Call 765-653-7426. That's 765-653-7426.
When we need to make a decision, we just yell down the hallway.
Hey!
Locally owned, locally operated, Giant FM. Prepare yourself for the greatest addiction.
I'm a gigolo.
Gigolo who?
Giant FM.
Things we are recognizing and celebrating today, April 9th. It's International ASMR Day. It's National Chicken Little Awareness Day. It's National Chinese Almond Cookie Day. National Gin and Tonic Day. It's National Name Yourself Day and National Unicorn Day. Here's Creep. Stone Temple Pilots, WREB Classic Rock.
I sing. It makes me happy. If I'm at work, I just dance in my seat at my desk. I don't care.
No!
I mean, hey!
Giant FM. Out cruising around? Roll your windows down and let everyone know that you're hearing the greatest hits on Giant FM.
Songs that I can sing along to, and
I know all the words.
All the ones they like.
I love music. I can't live without my jams.
Giant FM.
I don't understand how some of these crazy but true stories happen, but Chinese surgeons came to the rescue after a man accidentally swallowed a pair of small fingernail scissors he was using to clean his teeth.
As he tried to cough it up, the points, which were facing upwards, dug deeper into his throat, causing serious damage. That's when the man decided it was pretty serious. A cough wasn't going to handle it. And he headed to the hospital. What? Didn't he have a toothpick handy?
Wake Up in Style with Bella every weekday from 6 to 10 on WREV.
Once you start listening, you won't be able to stop.
Things go well, I might be showing them my old face.
Prepare yourself for the greatest addiction, Giant FM.
Just have to ask Jet, are you going to be my girl? This is WREV Classic Rock. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jen. I hope you have a great night. Have a great Wednesday, and let's meet here at 2 o'clock for another afternoon filled with Classic Rock on WREV.
Your new place to rock.
This is Angus Young of AC/DC.
Hi, this is Joe Elliott from Def Leppard.
I'm Axel. Yeah, I'm Slash.
WREV, Rancastle, Giant FM Rocks.
This is my kind of music.
A Three Towers Broadcasting Company station.
Well, there you go. A trip to Greencastle, Indiana, and radio station WREB-FM, and their radio announcer, Jen. Now, if you have any comments concerning this part of the program, or if there's a featured station you'd like me to present, why don't let me know about it by email or voicemail. The email address here is Jeff. That's J-E-F-F, Jeff, at allthingsradio.net. Or you can call that feedback line at 800-693-0595. That's 800-693-0595 in the option 2 for the podcast team. For All Things Radio Live, I'm Jeff Bennett.
This concludes another All Things Radio Live. Join us every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the latest radio news, interviews, caller questions and comments, station scopes, and more. Visit the show's official website at www.allthingsradio.net and visit the Legend website at legendoldies.com. Join us again next week for another All Things Radio Live on the World Wide Legend.